This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So there was one Sunday morning. It was around Easter time, and a preacher gathered up the children of the church in the front of the sanctuary for the weekly children's sermon. And he began, obviously, with a thematically appropriate question. Children, he asks, we are getting closer to Easter Sunday. What do we celebrate on Easter? One girl spoke up quickly. We remember our mothers and how much we love them. And he goes, well, no, that's not quite right, the pastor replied. You're thinking of Mother's Day. Then an eager boy took a shot. Easter is a time when we say thank you, God, for all the good things in our lives. And the pastor said, well, we can always, yes, say thank you to God, and that's very important. He was beginning to worry about what the Sunday school teachers were teaching the children in Sunday school. But you're thinking of Thanksgiving, not Easter. So children, what is the meaning of Easter? Then after a few awkward moments of silence, another girl raised her hand very tentatively to give it a try, and she said, it's the day when we remember that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And then they buried Jesus in a tomb. And on Easter morning, God rolled the stone away, and Jesus came out of the tomb. Oh, wonderful, cried the pastor, that's right. And then, the girl continued, Jesus looked and saw his shadow, and so he went back into tomb. He went back into the tomb, and there were six more weeks of winter. So that's what happened this morning. Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow, and even though we lived 6 weeks of winter just a week or so ago, looks like we get six more weeks of winter. But the interesting thing is February 2nd, right? February 2nd is always Groundhog Day, yes? February 2nd in the church calendar is also the celebration of the presentation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the temple, or Candlemas. Which one is easier to say? So not often does that high holy day, the presentation of our Lord Jesus Christ, fall on a Sunday. It's every year, February 2nd, but not always on a Sunday. So we don't always get to hear about the significance of this moment in the life of young Jesus and his family. This day comes 40 days after Christmas, always on February 2nd, also known as Candlemas, so think like Christmas, but Candlemas. So if you haven't gotten around to taking down your Christmas stuff yet, you're still good, but after today, there are no excuses, fans. And actually, when you visit other countries, especially Eastern Orthodox and in Israel, they still have their decorations up until Candlemas. And when I had the opportunity to visit years ago in January, near the end of January, they start to look a little sad by the end of January. But today's the last day. But today we celebrate this special day. This is a moment in Jesus's life. It's recorded in Luke's gospel. And while it may seem on the surface a simple story, it actually is rich with much meaning. So first, it marks the first time that Jesus enters the temple. Now, in that time, the temple, and still today, it's very sacred space, right? Not just anybody can enter the temple, which we learned throughout Jesus' ministry. People have to offer sacrifices to enter the temple in many ways. If they have an ailment, they're not allowed to enter the temple because they're seen as dirty. There are purification rituals. So to bring a baby into the temple was a very significant act by Jewish families. So they were fulfilling the Jewish law. And according to the Jewish law, the firstborn son must be circumcised after 8 days. So while the gospel doesn't say that's what's happening, that's what they're bringing Jesus to do. Good times. And later, presented in the temple and redeemed by an offering to God. Now this is commemorated in the time of Moses, when the firstborn of the Egyptians were slain while the Jews were spared. That's a whole other story, but it carries that sort of long, significant moment. And in addition to presenting the firstborn into the temple and offering a sacrifice, the mother of the son had 40 days to be ritually purified after giving birth. So these three major events in the life of a devout Jewish family, circumcision, purification, and sacrifice, are all combined into this one story, this one scene. Now, the sacrifice that was acceptable at the time for poor people, right, those who could not afford a lamb, that was the preferred sacrifice. But for poor people, it was two turtle doves or two pigeons. This detail is significant in this story because we're reminded that Jesus was born into very humble means. Essentially, he was born into poverty. His entire life from the very beginning of being presented in the temple is consecrated in humility. It also shows us that Jesus' parents were faithful to the laws of their people. It also shows us, though, and I want to focus on these two, Simeon and Anna, representative of devout Jews that have been waiting their entire life for the fulfillment of God's promise to Israel. Waiting for God's promise their entire life. Now, the temple would have been a place of daily activity. Priests performing their duties, families bringing sacrifices, teachers teaching the law. And in the midst of all of these routines, an ordinary young couple enters with their newborn baby. And to most who would have been present there, they were just another family offering their humble sacrifice. But Simeon and Anna see so much more. You see, they recognize right away that something special about this child. This is no ordinary infant. He is the Messiah. He is the one they have waited for their entire lives and for generations before them. He is the fulfillment of God's promise. Now their ability, and we're even told in the story, their ability to perceive this truth, right? Simeon was led by the Holy Spirit. Anna, in her prayer and fasting, knew when she met this child. Their deep communion and faithfulness to God is what opened their eyes to what others couldn't necessarily see. They had spent their lives in expectation. Expectation that God would fulfill God's promise. And Simeon, remembering that he had had a vision that God said, and God told him, "Don't worry, Simeon, you will not die before this promise is fulfilled about the coming of the Messiah." So all of Simeon's life, having known this, that God promised, and as he aged and aged, you have to wonder, okay, God, are you going to keep your promise? But he was intentional. He was intentional about his life and had an expectation that, yes, God would fulfill his promise. And then Anna, who had spent decades in the temple, worshiping and fasting, praying night and day. So the thing that we can learn from Simeon and Anna is they weren't just waiting around, right? They weren't just sitting in the pew waiting around for God's promises to be fulfilled. They were active. They were active in their faith, and they were hope-filled. I'm sure there were days where they thought this is never going to happen, but yet they remained hope-filled with expectation that God keeps God's promises. And they were not simply letting time pass or enduring time, depending on how times go, but they were constantly preparing their hearts. See, in fact, that's what our opening prayer was today. Just as Jesus was presented in the temple, we pray, so may we be presented to you with pure and clean hearts. So they were waiting for years. Hopeful expectation. They continued to do the work of preparing their hearts to receive the promises that God had made. So I wonder, how often might we miss God showing up because we get caught up in our routines? Just like everyone else in the temple who's going about their daily business, Simeon and Anna noticed right away who this promise was in this infant. How often do we fail to see Christ in the ordinary? We can glean from Simeon and Anna's life that their life of prayer and faithfulness sharpens, right, our spiritual vision. That when we live a life committed to prayer and worship and hopefulness and faithfulness, that our spiritual vision is sharpened, that we are able to see things in God's promises coming to fruition that maybe others are not able to see. And when we actively work on our relationship, like Anna, we become more attuned to where God is actually working in the world and where God's presence might show up in those unexpected places. My guess is none of the priests in the temple expected that God would show up as an infant of a poor family. We're reminded that in our fast-paced culture, waiting is seen as a burden. We grow impatient when things don't happen immediately. We grow impatient when God doesn't act immediately. But we're reminded here that true faith involves trusting that God's promises will be fulfilled in due time. And Simeon and Anna show us how to wait well, with hope, with prayer, with readiness. So I ask, what are you waiting for in your life today? And then I ask, are you waiting with faith and expectancy like Anna and Simeon? Or are you waiting with frustration and doubt? Simeon and Anna are elderly figures. Yet they play a vital role in revealing Jesus Christ to the world. And in a world that often overlooks the elderly, their example reminds us that while age may keep us from doing some things we used to do, while age may keep us from doing some things with ease that we enjoy, age does not diminish our purpose in the kingdom of God. We may retire from our vocations, we may slow down, we may take each day at a different pace and stride. We may laugh at young people who continue to strive towards something, knowing that on the other side is just a great amount of fatigue. But we never get to retire from proclaiming the good news of God and Jesus Christ. We never age out of our responsibility to invite people to come and see. So no matter our stage or age in life, from the new infant that enters into the temple, or the elderly people who have waited their whole lives to see God's promises fulfilled, our voices are needed. Our presence is significant. God uses all of us every day in new and powerful ways. And perhaps more than anything, the story of Simeon and Anna show us what it looks like to cultivate a life toward God, to cultivate a life of worship, to cultivate a life of prayer. We are told Anna's life was marked by worship and fasting and prayer. And this was not just a private devotion, something she did on the side when she got around to it or how she felt like, but it was a way of life. And this way of life is what opened her eyes to recognize and proclaim Jesus the moment she saw him. Spending time in prayer can align us with God's voice, not the voice of the world. Fasting can sharpen our spiritual sensitivities. And I'm not talking about intermittent fasting, which is a thing now. Worship, gathering together in a community, keeps our hearts open to God's presence. So the story of Simeon and Anna is not just a sweet story about some old people in a church who love babies. It's an invitation. It's an invitation to see Christ in our midst when others do not. It's an invitation to wait faithfully, trusting that God will fulfill God's promises. They don't always look the way we think they should look. So just put that in. But God does fulfill God's promises. It's an invitation to proclaim both the joy and the challenge of following Jesus. We cannot forget that Simeon looked to Mary and said, "A sword will pierce your heart." It's an invitation to proclaim both the joy and the challenge of following Jesus. And more than anything, it's an invitation to embrace our calling at every stage of our life. You don't get to retire from following Jesus. And all of this ability is fueled by a life of consistent and persistent worship and prayer. Amen.